From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour will be made by you, the voter, in September and November. This year, we've held a series of interviews with the candidates for Rochester City Council and for Mayor of Rochester. Mayor Lovely Warren is running for re-election, and we're on round two of what we hope will be three separate rounds of interviews with the candidates. In round two, you've already heard from Democrats James Shepard and Rachel Barnhart, Green Party candidate Alex White, and Independent candidate Lori Thomas. Today, Mayor Warren is back with us for the hour, and we're always appreciative of her time. We'll get right to it. Mayor Warren, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me, Evan.
You just mentioned that you came, you're sort of fresh off an event on police-community relations. What's going on today?
Yes, we were over at the Frederick Douglass Art Center where we relaunched this program that started, I believe, in 2008 and then sort of died down. But it's a positive ticket where our officers will, when they see people doing good things in the community, children, citizens, they would issue them a positive ticket. We have partnerships with businesses where they can get a discount on certain foods, the YMCA and Domino's. And I think that it's good to highlight and to point out when people are doing good things in our community.
So the positive tickets will run for how long?
It starts August 21st, and it's indefinitely. So our officers will have a pad with the tickets, and we'll be able to give those out, and they'll be going indefinitely.
Yeah, this is a time where I know you're certainly aware of calls in the community for, reviewing police conduct, et cetera. I know you're very familiar with what Ted Forsyth, Barbara Lackaware, the report they put together and mm-hmm. their recommendations for a police accountability board. We had the chance to talk to them a couple weeks ago. Then earlier this week, what day is this? Is it Wednesday? Earlier this week, we had a chance to talk to Frank Liberti and the folks from the Center for Dispute Settlement. Mm-hmm. And they had a different take, but they also have their own recommendations, which I know you're familiar with.
Yes.
Do you fall on either side? Do you think police accountability and the review of police conduct should change at all?
Yes. And we've changed it before. Whenever, you recognize that there are issues and there are challenges that the community have highlighted, we changed it. When I was president of city council, Councilmember McFadden had a robust discussion. And one of the things that we did that was born out of that was that advocacy point where people would come in for interviews and felt like that they were being interrogated. And we actually put money or had the administration put money in a budget to actually hire an advocate for those people that were filing a complaint. And that worked for a while. And now you have this issue come back up that something else needs to be done. And that's the reason why city council and I have supported, putting in $25,000 to do a contract with the Center for Government Research to do an independent review and make recommendations for change in the civilian review process.
So you're going to wait for CGR's report, which I had read was maybe later this summer, you expect?
Yes. Okay. It's the contract is with city council. The civilian review process is born out of, the legislative arm and supported by the executive. And so we will allow them to do their review, make their recommendations, and consider all three and make some changes that need to be made.
And your opponents on the Democratic primary, Rachel Barnhart, has said she thinks that the Forsyth and Lackaware report is essentially on the money, that it points out a lot of flaws in the system. Jim Shepard has said that as police chief and as a longtime officer, I think he defended the system, says the public tends to misunderstand it, but he also acknowledges that there's not the public trust there needs to be, so he is supportive of changes. Ultimately, do you think changes will be made in one direction or another,
Yes.
whether it's towards that initial report or Center for Dispute Settlement?
Changes will be made.
Yeah.
What changes will come, I can't outline and say that today, but changes definitely will be made.
Okay, and both campaigns as well have been harping on an issue that has forced me to do a lot of study in the last few days, and I know it's dense for listeners, so it's on the subject of campaign finance. What I'd like to do is try to do my best to explain what I understand and then give you plenty of time to respond, because this is not the kind of thing that's easily done in a soundbite or in 90 seconds or in a short column. So let me do my best to explain my understanding, and then I'll let the mayor explain at length where her perspective is on this. Think of it this way. people run for office have campaign funds. There's a campaign account. So Lovely Warren has campaign account, Rachel Barnhart, Jim Shepard, anybody running for office has campaign accounts. Now, some politicians have a PAC, a political action committee. Most don't. Some do. Stephanie Miner, mayor of Syracuse, for example, does. And my understanding is that the idea of creating a PAC is because there are things that you want to contribute to in your community. There are causes, sometimes there are candidates, and that you can use that PAC to raise money in a way that would support those endeavors. And Warren for a Strong Rochester is a PAC that the mayor created in 2015. And so some of the allegations that we're hearing or the concern is, I think it's two-pronged, and I want to get specific, and then we'll speak more broadly. So in 2016, at your annual mayor's ball, you raised money for the PAC, not the campaign. And is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so February of 2017, this year at your annual mayor's ball, you intended to raise money for the campaign, not the PAC. But the PayPal account was not changed. So for a while, the money that was coming in for tickets sold was going to last year's beneficiary, the PAC, instead of the campaign. That money totaled $25,000 roughly. And eventually, someone changed, and we can talk about this, someone changed the PayPal setup, so the remaining revenue from the tickets went to the campaign essentially as originally intended. But again, by then, roughly $25,000 had come in for the PAC. So at the end of March, your PAC decided, is that correct?
So... not necessarily. So when people went to purchase tickets online for the mayor's ball, they filled out a form and all of the receipts says Friends of Lovely Warren. So those individuals knew that they were purchasing a ticket for the mayor's ball going to my reelection campaign, Friends of Lovely Warren. On the back end, PayPal holds they hold it in the account, and then they transfer it, you know, after a period of time.
Sure.
They transferred it to the wrong account. When that was done, then, you know, volunteers made a mistake and they did not itemize it the correct way. And we have all the documentation showing that people purchased Friends of Lovely Warren tickets to the mayor's ball. It was intended for that purpose and not for the PAC.
So is it PayPal's fault?
Well, no, it's our fault ultimately. You take responsibility for the mistake. And you know, when people, you know, you have a volunteer team, you know, certain things needed to be changed on the website, language and other things that, you know, was forgotten to be changed, or, you know, and on the back end, the account that the money would be transferred to. And so you take responsibility for that. And, you know, I take responsibility for it because, you know, ultimately it's me that's responsible. And I apologize for that. We made the correction that needed to be made. And we did it within a short, you know, within hours of recognizing that there was a mistake that was made. Or, you know, I, you know, said to them, look, you know, we have to do this the correct way. Let's figure out how do you report this the way that it needs to be reported, showing who purchased the tickets. We want to make sure people didn't overpay, and outline and be as transparent and honest as you possibly can be. People make mistakes.
Okay, but when you say volunteers, people make mistakes, my understanding is your PAC treasurer is also the deputy finance director of the city of Rochester. So maybe volunteering for the PAC, but this is someone with a lot of experience handling funds and money, right?
Yes. So, but at the end of the day, our Friends of Lovely Warren, that person also, those dollars went over to the Friends of Lovely Warren account, regardless of who they are. There's no one that, you know, is perfect. And, you know, I think that at the end of the day, we're getting into something where there is no malice. There is no intent to defraud or intent to withhold information. It's not the case. You know, there was no intent to do something wrong here. And I think that's the difference here. If there was an intent to do something wrong, then I would agree that there's, you know, somebody should be, you know, the hammer should come down. But there's no intent here.
You say honest mistakes.
It's an honest mistake.
All right. So and again, so we're talking $25,000-$30,000. And so just clear up a couple of things, if you could, for me then, because the legal limit for a PAC to give to a candidate is $8,557. So even if it was an honest mistake, you've got $25,000 or $30,000 that went to your PAC that maybe was intended to go to your campaign, but the law says you can't just give the money from the PAC to the campaign. And you know, but the PAC did. Did you go to the Board of Elections and say, look, we know this is way over the legal limit, but it was intended to go to the campaign. We're just going to give it. Let us know if it's a problem. Was the Board of Elections notified? Did you know that that decision was being made?
We have been in contact with the Board of Elections, and that's the reason why it's itemized that if James Smith purchased a ticket for $300 for Friends of Lovely Warren, then that needs to go to the account in which he purchased the account from. But at the end of the day, this is the thing about it. We have real issues in this city, real issues. And people want to talk about something where there's no intent. There was a mistake that was made, a mistake that was corrected, a mistake that our campaign came forth and said, you know what, this was done. This wasn't done the correct way, and therefore we're going to make sure that we do it the correct way. When we talk about what we need to do in our community, and people want to get down into the mud and make this race about me. And this race isn't about me. This race is about the citizens of Rochester. When we talk about safer and more vibrant neighborhoods, look at the work that we've done. When we talk about more educational opportunities for our children, look at the work that we've done. When we talk about jobs and economic development, look at the work that we've done. All over this city, you see improvement, you see road construction, you see things happening. And you want to get off into veer off into a direction where there's no malice aforethought. There's no malice there. And so let's talk about the issues, the things that our citizens deserve and deserve for us as candidates to talk about.
I do think voters care about campaign finance, and I think you deserve every opportunity to say this is blown out of proportion. This is politicized. This is in the mud. This is not a real issue. But I want to make sure I understand it because it can get murky. And if there's nothing here, we can flesh that out, because in many cases in this country, wouldn't you agree that at the very least, money's hard to follow, and that voters do care about who's funding campaigns?
Listen, I 100% support public financing of campaigns.
Okay.
I support that. I've been on record supporting public financing of campaigns from the very beginning. That's not the system that we operate in. The system that we operate in is completely different. And you know what? In the system that we operate in, you try to outline and make sure that everybody is following the rules and regulations, and we do our best to do so. And then when we make a mistake, we correct that. That's what you can ask of people.
Okay. And so,
and that's what we've done.
All right. So on the subject of that money, the Board of Elections did know that your PAC was going to give that amount to the campaign?
That's not what I said.
Okay.
What I said was that we contacted the Board of Elections. We have been in contact with the Board of Elections, and we're working out with them. They're the bearers of how do you correctly make this right? And we will do whatever it is that they tell us that we have to do. But again, there is no intent to do anything wrong here. There is a mistake that was made in an attempt to correct the mistake. So I've said that 5 times already. Now let's get to the real issues of this campaign.
Jim Shepherd has called for the attorney general to investigate. I mean, are you aware of being under investigation at all for this?
Listen, you know what? I feel a little bit like Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And let me tell you this. Last year, the issues that Donald Trump, put on Hillary Clinton, and it was all about this pie in the sky. Oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to prosecute you. We're going to do all this stuff. And you have unclean hands. When I tell you that, you look at your own house. Deal with your own house. Don't throw stones when you live in a glass house. And I say that to say, the citizens of our city deserve to have people talk about what is affecting them personally. How will you being mayor change what's happening in our community? I know what I've done. People that don't have a record, what they do is they attack the person. They make this about me. Lovely Warren is a bad person. Lovely Hillary Clinton is a bad person. She's a bad person.
I don't hear that.
It, I hear it all the time. And if you look at what they put out, it's not about the issues. It's not about what's impacting our community. It's not about how you're going to help our city or what you're going to do to lead our city or what you're doing right now to lead our city in an elected position. I'm not going to get into the mud with individuals and sling dirt because I don't have to. I have a record that I'm running on, a record that has shown that through hard work, through working together, through partnership, we can move the needle when it comes down to the issues that are impacting this city. So there's not one part of this community that you can go into where you don't see road construction. We haven't had housing developed on Hudson Avenue in over 40 years. Go to the corner of Hudson and Upper Falls Boulevard and you tell that community that we haven't been fighting for them. We haven't had housing developed on East Main Street in 40 years, in that part of East Main Street in 40 years. You go over there and you see progress happen. Look at what's happening in downtown Rochester and all over every part of this city. Talk to the parents that now have their 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds enrolled in high-quality pre-K programs because we went together to fight for the money for them to be able to do that, to give our kids a fighting chance at life. Talk to the people. I was just over at Strong Memorial Hospital visiting my friend. Young man Darren came up to me and said, you know what, I went through your OTR program. Thank you. I worked for the city for a little while. Now I'm over here working at the University of Rochester. Thank you for giving me a chance. Go over and you talk to the people at CEO and talk to the people that are coming into our community from prison who are now on our streets cleaning up our neighborhoods and have a job to be able to take care of their family. You talk to them. This isn't about Lovely Warren. This is about the people of our city. Talk about the issues. Talk about what's impacting them. But when you don't have that, what you do is talk about everything else and try to make something out of nothing. And there's nothing there. And I will not allow anyone to take the work that we've done and the success that we had and try to disparage it on some nonsense that they're creating when their own house isn't in order.
I will say for the mayor, when I said I don't hear that, the personal stuff, I have seen plenty of ugly, terrible personal stuff. I can't imagine what it is like to be a woman of color in politics. And I've seen some of the really awful stuff. And so I grant that. I mean, I didn't mean to say I don't see any of the personal stuff. I'm raising this issue because it's not necessarily just the political opponents of Lovely Warren have raised it. And I know you saw the story in the Gotham Gazette. You know, Blair Horner for NYPIRG is concerned that there are possible issues here. Susan Lerner, these are people who have been monitoring sort of state business for many years here. So I understand that you feel that this is personal.
None of those, in at the end of
so
the day.
So let's get this out of the way.
The only people that regulate this is the State Board of Elections. In the State Board of Elections, who we have been in contact with, who we have been working with, who we've been talking to, who have already said who have already outlined whatever they are going to outline as it pertains to this. So all the people that you're talking about, they're irrelevant. You know why they're irrelevant? Because they don't regulate this. And you're trying to make something and trying to say that something is an issue when it isn't, and when there is no intent, there is no malice, there is no attempt to defraud. Now, if we did something wrong, I acknowledge it, I apologize for it, and I correct it. All three things that I've already done. What else do you want?
I just want to ask a few more questions and get past that. I'd like to get on the issues.
I've acknowledged it, I've answered it, and I've said to you that we work with the State Board of Elections to correct anything that's wrong, and we will do that.
Well, then let me ask the question. I'll give you an example. Your PAC has raised more than $300,000 since being founded in 2015. And according to the piece in Gotham Gazette that they wrote on this, only about 5,000 have gone to actual candidates. About 100,000 has been spent, most of that going to the Rochester Riverside Convention Center, which is where your ball is held. And there are some overlap in terms of vendors that get money from both your PAC and your campaign. And what Jim Shepard, I know, a political opponent, but what Blair Horner at NYPIRG and others say is it starts to look like there's not a difference between your PAC and your campaign. And that's not how PACs are supposed to run, that they're supposed to fund candidates or causes, not, and that's not what's happening here. And that's what they're concerned. The broader picture is that the beneficiary of the PAC is you, not causes and campaign. That's what they're saying. So, number one, why
that's what they're, and the thing about it
well,
is
what's,
that.
What's your PAC spent money on? What is your PAC spent money on?
That is not accurate, and it's not,
okay.
And it's not true.
So, what has the PAC spent money on?
It doesn't, the thing about it is the PAC outlines everything. They report everything right there. It's for anybody that wants to go and see, to go and look and to go and see. The fact of the matter is we have a number of people, churches, we have little leagues, we have events that ask for tickets, that ask for ads, that ask for support, that we have families that have lost loved one that can't afford to buy food for family, and we do that. And so the fact of the matter is, and this is in the fact of the matter is that when it comes down to city business, the fact we have increased our bond rating by 2 bond rating agencies. I have reduced taxes in this city 2 years in a row for the taxpayers, for the average taxpayers. We have done everything that we can to be effective servants of the taxpayers in our community. That's who I want to focus on. I'm not going to get into slinging mud from a blog that I don't even know. And I'm not going to get into that issue of responding to individuals that I don't have to respond to, because at the end of the day, it is the Board of Elections. But if you want to talk about the great work that we have done in my record and what I'm running on, then talk to me about that. If you want to talk to me about why it is important that we do not sell our water infrastructure, where we have 125 people employed and we have the number one water system basically in the state of New York voted, talk to me about that. If you want to talk to me about the issues that's impacting our city and the work that I do on a daily basis and my team does on a daily basis to make sure that our city runs effectively and efficiently, then you talk to me about that. I'm done talking about that, because you know what? I've answered the question 5 times where I've said, you admit when there is a mistake. You do what you can to correct it. And you work with the proper authorities to do what they tell you to do to make sure that it is okay. And we have done all 3.
Mayor Warren is my guest for the hour. We'll get to some of your phone calls coming up here. Let's talk about other city business. I've got a big stack here. You'll be happy to hear that, because
there's
a lot more to talk about here. I want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on downtown with Parcel 5. We've heard in recent weeks from different groups. We sat down with Arnie Rothschild, but we also sat down with Ray Matrano and groups that are, you know, sort of fighting to change the path there. And I've heard from members of city council who tell me privately, hey, this is not a done deal, despite what the chairman of RBTL says, that city council's got to approve this.
Absolutely.
Right. And that the mayor is going to eventually take this to city council. And that hasn't happened yet. So let's pump the brakes and calling it a done deal. So when it comes to Parcel 5, you made this decision, I think, in April. And a lot of money has got to be raised. Tom Golisano came in with $25 million. There's some very prominent people in this community already on board. But there's still a lot of money that I at least understand has to be raised. Do you know how much money has been raised for that project yet?
I don't have the exact numbers, but I do know that RBTO, as well as their team, have been working and talking to private and foundations, and I believe that they have a great support out here to get this project done. And of course, you know, city council, they're the ones that sell, lease, and approve the sale of land. And, you know, they would have to vote on it. But I would not take it to them unless we had a, you know, financially, the plan to go forward. And just like with any project, you don't take it to them until you have the financing and a plan forward. And we'll go from there.
Okay. So is it your hope to eventually be able to go to city council sometime in this calendar year? Do you expect maybe early next year when there will be a new council and, you know, sort of maybe a different makeup there? But when do you think that could happen?
Well, I would hope to be able to go to them by the end of the year. I know that they have, RBTL is getting and lining up some donors, and hopefully they'll be able to raise the money by the end of the year. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about making sure that we do a project that will be lasting for generations to come. When we think about Syracuse, that is a city of college sports. Buffalo is the city of a major league sports. Rochester is the city of the arts. We do the arts well. I don't care whether you're talking about music or you're talking about plays or Broadway coming here. We do the arts well. And I think that with the Eastman School of Music, with you know, the support that we're getting and hearing from many people out here in support of the arts, the jazz festival and other things, I think that, you know, this is something that would take our community to the next level. When you think about the number of jobs that are born out of being able to have Broadway shows come here, talking about hundreds and thousands of people that are coming here, millions of dollars that are being spent in your community because of it. I think that it's great to be able to highlight what we do well and to have a facility that not only takes into account the arts and what we do well here, but also a facility that encompasses our ADA and our disabilities community as well. And this will be one of the best disability theaters, friendly theaters in the country.
All right, Mayor Warren, my guest, let's get to some of your phone calls on that. I'm going to start with Louise in Rochester, I think, had a comment on this issue. Go ahead, Louise.
Hi, good afternoon, Evan. Good afternoon, Mayor Warren.
Good afternoon.
I've been out of Rochester for a while, and I came back a couple weeks ago, and I attended a concert this past Saturday. It was the Rochester Women's Music Festival, and it was really nice. Thanks for bringing it. But one thing that I noticed was downtown doesn't look like downtown looked before I left town. And I see development everywhere. I see where Midtown was. It was beautiful the way that it's all set up, but I see all of this construction going on. Can you talk a little bit about some of the construction projects that are going on currently in downtown Rochester?
Yes, I can, Louise, and thank you for the question. There is a lot happening not only in downtown Rochester, but all over our community. One of the things that, you know, I'm thankful to have great partners in government, the state of New York, allowed us to, they awarded us a grant to repair and to redevelop our Main Street scape, to bring parking onto Main Street after decades of it being gone. And so you see that happening right now. You know, I can't take credit for demolishing Midtown. That happened under the Duffy administration. And I think that it was you see progress happening in a great transformation because of it in the center city and in downtown. When I think about our, our neighborhoods and what's happening in our neighborhoods, we have a lot of street construction and road construction going on in neighborhoods, as well as new houses and other developments that's happening. So Rochester is in a period of transition, and I can guarantee you that the downtown that you see today will not be the downtown that you see next year, because a lot of the changes that are happening hopefully will be complete. If you look along the inner loop, we have a number of different projects that are going on the inner loop. Home leasing, hopefully we'll be putting in a proposal for city council next month to do some housing development over there. Last month we city council passed the Krista Morgan development that is happening. And this month I have legislation going in the City Council for the Strong Museum and the partners there to build, to expand the Strong, but also to build a hotel with a water park feature for families, as well as some housing and some shops and other things. So we have a lot going on and we're excited about what's happening. And I am thankful to be able to work with many great partners in government to get the support that we need to transform our community into being the great city that I know that it could be for not only my daughter, but for the other children in our community.
All right, thanks for the phone call. Brianna in Rochester next. Go ahead, Brianna.
Hi. So I'm incredibly concerned by the lack of transparency and honesty that surrounds your campaign and how it's raising and spending its money. If you can't do the basics of running for office with integrity and openness, why should people trust you to reduce crime and fix our city school system?
All right, Brianna, listen, I'm going to let the mayor respond to that. I just want to say sometimes we get calls that sound a lot like campaign calls. We prefer not to take plants, but I don't know that that was, so maybe I'm being uncharitable to Brianna. But I will let the mayor ask that.
Say that, Brianna, for the last 4 years, I think that I have shown what we can do and what we have done. When you talk about crime, we've actually reduced crime. It's at a 30-year low. Shootings are down 22%. This time last year, we had 19 people that had been murdered in our community. And this year, I believe that we have 13. You don't want people to lose their lives in your community. You do everything possible to build relationships. We have reorganized our police department and brought body cameras to our community. When we talk about being able to really repair and to lead economically, we've had 2 bond rating upgrades for the city, and that means that our taxpayers get relief from that because we're able to borrow money at a cheaper interest rate than before. We have been able to bring in millions of dollars in support for different projects that are happening all over our community, and we continue to do that. When we talk about jobs, unemployment has gone from 9% to 6% according to the labor statistics in 2016. And we continue to do what we can to make sure that our children have educational opportunities. So I can just tell you that you can look at my record, and my record clearly shows that as it pertains to city business and what I'm doing on behalf of the citizens of Rochester, that is definitely working. To be the only mayor that has been able to reduce taxes for the average homeowner for 2 years in a row, I think is a good thing. And I'm asking that this community continues to support me because I believe that the work that we have done as it pertains to our citizens and getting the support that they need and doing the work on behalf of them is what is most important. And that is the record that I'm running on and not anything else.
Some of our listeners on social media are critical of me. They say that I have not been following up enough, and they want some answers on a couple of things. They heard me ask if the mayor is under investigation. I'm going to ask again. Do you know that if you're under investigation regarding campaign finance and funding and PACs?
No, I'm not. And I think that it's the same thing that Donald Trump tried with Hillary Clinton. And I think that we need to focus on the issues, and we need to stop with the slinging of mud that is inaccurate and untrue. And we need to make sure that we do what's best on behalf of the citizens of Rochester.
Jim Shepherd's campaign sends over information. They say their concern is the commingling of funds they claim between the PAC and your campaign fund highlights, quote, how both committees are being used to benefit the candidate. And here's what they say. We will be specific. We won't fling mud. This is not personal. They say, here's an example of how the PAC money is spent to benefit you. They say, the PAC paid last year for you and your staff to travel to the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. Why would the PAC money be used for that? Now, when I asked you about PAC money, you raised families that have lost ones, little leagues, et cetera.
The PAC money can be used to support political candidates. And I went to the Democratic Convention to support Hillary Clinton. I've traveled the country to support Hillary Clinton. I've been to Florida. I've been to Ohio. I've been all over to support the Democratic candidate that I supported for president. Those dollars can be used for that particular purpose. There's nothing wrong with that. And this is exactly the reason why I am saying to you, let's not get into something that we don't need to get into. Well, because they're not being truthful. They're not outlining what the law truly says. They have no legal basis for doing that. And this is all about politics. And I am not going to play a Donald Trump sort of, Hillary Clinton, part two. I'm not going to do that. And I'm asking you as the person that's leading this, I've answered your questions on this. And I've answered your questions specifically on this. If you want to talk to me about what is best for the citizens of Rochester and on my record as mayor and what I have accomplished or not accomplished as mayor, then you talk to me about that.
Mayor, I care about this too. It's not just the listeners.
Evan, because you're not.
Can I follow up? Can I follow up?
For the last half an hour, the citizens of Rochester deserve to have an election that focuses on them.
People care about this, Mayor.
No, people don't.
I could read emails and tweets the rest of the day.
Listen, you can read emails and tweets all day long.
I didn't want to
spend
the hour
about information on this that is inaccurate. The fact of the matter is a PAC can give money to help
other candidates.
Help other candidates,
sure.
Or to help get other people elected.
Sure.
And therefore, when I went to the Democratic Convention, I'm supporting Hillary Clinton and my Democratic team.
Did it support you, though? There was an event where you were a part of, weren't you? You were part of an event, speaking at an event about education in Philadelphia when you were there. Is that correct?
Yes, I did do that.
So that benefits you. So that PAC is funding your travel to go to
America. I mean, you're trying to stretch something here. And this is the thing about it. It's stretching and reaching for something that isn't there. It's not there. There is no intent. There is no intent to defraud. There is nothing there. And you're trying to make something, and they're trying to make something out of nothing. You want to read something about James Shepherd and what his campaign has said about me. When he was on here, my campaign didn't put anything on here to try and disparage him.
We're talking about
records.
You can
issue.
Talk about records.
No, this is my record. My record is that unemployment in the city of Rochester has gone from 9% to 6%. That crime in the city of Rochester is at a 30-year low. That shootings are down 22%. That we have 1,200% of our students, we have increased enrollment in pre-K by 1,200%. That is my record. The record is that for 2 years in a row that I have reduced property taxes for the average homeowner, in our city for 2 years in a row. The record is that on Hudson Avenue and East Main Street and all over this city, you have development that's happening. That is my record. Talk about what I have done in service to this community for the last 3.5 years. And then you talk about what I continue to do on behalf of our citizens, what we do, what we have done today with highlighting positive things that people in the community are doing, and also with our children and making sure that they understand that we have a city that cares about them and want them to succeed. That is my record that you want, that I'm here to talk about. That's my record.
Mayor, I want to talk about all of those issues. All I want to do is get through a list of questions.
I have to understand this issue too. Obviously, Evan, you have an agenda.
I don't have an agenda.
Listen, obviously,
I would love to be done with this section.
Listen, you have an agenda, and just like other people, I refuse to talk to them because your agenda is coming through. I've answered your question about that. You don't like my answer to the question, and so you keep asking me the same thing over and over again.
Mayor,
it is not going to change.
I have specific
questions
that you have not answered.
I continue to do the things that I want to do, that I committed to do on behalf of the citizens of Rochester 3.5 years ago, and I have answered the question. I said, listen, if we've done something wrong, we work with the Board of Elections, we correct it, and we've done. I am not under investigation. It is a flat out lie. These individuals are telling flat out lies, and I think that the community should pay very, very close attention to the fact that people would tell these kinds of lies and tell these kinds of things just to because they want to win, because they want you to get off in the minutia. You have a person in Washington right now that did exactly that, that told a bunch of lies, that hands wasn't clean, that's leading this country into the ground. Today, released something about transgenders not being able to serve, taking millions of dollars away from healthcare because people got sidetracked off into garbage that wasn't true when their own hands were not clean. And I'm telling you that I'm not going to go there with them. I'm going to talk about the fact of the matter is that I have done and my team have worked with a lot of people in this community. They have served a lot of people in this community because I'm not doing this for Lovely Warren. I'm doing this because I care about this city. I was born and raised in this city. I went to high school. I went to grammar school, high school in this city. I love this city. I came home from law school to serve this city. And I have been serving this city. And I want this city to be just as good to my daughter as it was for me. Because my family, both my father and my mother's family, my father, an immigrant from Trinidad, came here to this country, to this city, because he believed and he had a dream for his children. My mom's family came here as sharecroppers from King Street, South Carolina, because they had a dream for this, for their children and for their children's children. Many of those stories are the stories that people all over this city have. Right? No matter where they came from, they came here for opportunity to work at Xerox, to work at Kodak, to live the American dream. That is what I want to give to our citizens, the ability to live the American dream. And that is why for the last 3.5 years, I have focused and I have given my heart towards making sure that we do everything possible for our citizens to succeed. Repairing police community relations by reorganizing the police department, by bringing body cameras, by looking at the civilian review board and working with city council to do that. This is the reason why we started the 90 days of community engagement and working with the police department in this new program that they have with positive tickets. It's the reason why I work with the city school district and have been working with the city school district for the last 3.5 years in order to effectuate change for our children, making sure that in our libraries, in our recreation centers, we're doing everything possible to help enhance the experience for our children and not making recreation just about play, but they get to come near and learn and engage with people in their educational endeavors. Reason why we have library and literacy aids at our libraries to help children over the summertime with reading so they don't lose anything over the summer when it comes down to summer learning loss. When we talk about development and jobs and economic development and working with the Rochester Monroe Anti-Poverty Initiative and the Finger Lakes Regional Economic Development Council, this is what it's about. Making sure that Rochesterians get the ability to live the American dream. That is what I want to focus on for the next 4 years. I would not be running for re-election if I did not believe that I made change happen in this city for the better, and that things did, and if I did not believe that we can continue to effectuate change on behalf of our citizens. And we've done everything possible. Every needle has moved. When we talk about green energy and building a new solar farm and making sure that we are making our city sustainable for the future, we continue to do that on behalf of our citizens. This is what this is about.
Mayor, I promise you, I don't have an agenda. I know you feel that way right now. I figured on 10 minutes on the campaign questions, on the funding. And every time I've asked a question, it's been diverted into something else. You say that you've answered every question. I have more questions. And I did not want to spend the hour on this.
Evan,
but I'm asking on behalf of people.
For the first 10 minutes, and you go back and you play it. You go back and you play it.
Mayor, you have to answer these questions. Somebody's going to ask you if it's not me. Let's get this out of the way.
For the first 10 minutes, you asked me the question. You asked me about the PAC. You asked me about Friends of Lovely Morning.
I'm not done asking about that.
You asked me, was I under investigation? What I said
the first time you did not answer.
No, I did say. You asked me, was I under investigation? And I said, no, I'm not under investigation.
Okay.
That's a flat out lie. You asked me about the PAC and if there was something that was done wrong and who we were working with. And I said, we worked directly with the Board of Elections to correct anything that if we did something wrong, we worked directly with the Board of Elections to correct it. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I take responsibility for anything that may have been filed wrong because my name is
This isn't about wrong filings.
So,
I have other questions.
So you asked me about it for the first 10, 15 minutes. And no matter how many different times you ask me the same question, the answer will be
the
same.
I have different questions. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example of a different question that I have for you. When it comes to contributing to campaigns. One of your opponents, Jim Shepherd, is alleging that there are a number of contributors who have over-donated beyond the legal limit and that your campaign has accepted that money and that should be giving that back and should not have taken that money. Are you concerned that you have over-accepted donations from anyone?
We refunded.
Okay.
Some people did overpay us.
Okay.
And we refunded those dollars. And we have refunded those dollars. And if there, we go through and we look at it, and if anybody overpays, we refund them the money, and we have not had a problem with that.
Very good.
On the Board of Elections website, you will see, I believe it's a Form M that we have to file to refund any money of overpayment.
Okay. And one of your other opponents, Rachel Barnhart, says she doesn't want to see any more campaign contributions from developers. Essentially, she thinks that's too close. And I'll give you an example that the Gotham Gazette reported. They say the list of big donors to both the campaign and the PAC is Rochester real estate companies, many with business before the city. Buckingham Properties contributed $10,350 to Friends of Lovely Warren in 2014 and 15, and another $5,000 to the PAC. Wynn Development, which owns the Sibley Building, contributed $5,000 to your campaign, $15,000 to the PAC. So they're contributing to both your campaign and the PAC, and they've got business before the city. And Rachel Barnhart says that at least has the appearance of impropriety, and that politics doesn't feel good when that's the case. And if she were the mayor, she wouldn't do that. Can you characterize why?
This is why this is ridiculous.
And it's not ridiculous. These are fair questions.
Do you know the reason why it's ridiculous?
No, because, I don't.
Because all across the state of New York, whether you're talking about from, any political people, this is the way that campaigns are financed. There is nothing wrong with it. And there is nothing, there's no impropriety or anybody has not asked me to cast a vote or do something for them that is wrong. And if you look at any campaign filing, if you look at any campaign filings from any mayor over the last period of time, or even Tom Richards or anybody else, you would see the same thing. But you make it an issue for me. And this is why I'm telling you that it is wrong that you go here. Because it's wrong to the people of the city to try and make something out of nothing. And tell me that anybody that this is something that no one else or no politicians or if you look at any of them from the majority leader to the county executive.
If this is not an issue, why do you support public financing?
It's not an issue because of exactly what you're saying, because you're making an issue out of nothing.
So no politician has ever been influenced by anybody contributing to their campaign?
I can tell you that I have not been influenced by anybody contributing to my campaign.
Then make the case.
Make the case?
I'm not attacking you. I would ask any mayor these questions.
Listen, it's BS. go back. So that's that's BS, and you know it. And let me tell you, go back and look at all of your interviews from when you were on Channel 8 to now, to any politician that have come up here, and you go and you look at their filings of elected office, and you tell me that. You look at James Shepherd's filing, and you tell me that. That is BS, and you're getting off into something that means nothing.
All right, Mayor. I care about how money is used to fund campaigns and who is giving the money.
Listen,
I'm not the only one.
I'm asking these questions. Obviously, you have an agenda.
My agenda is to ask those questions, correct?
Listen, I asked for fairness. Let me tell you something. I asked for fairness. The fact of the matter, and let me tell you why I asked for fairness. You look at all of your interviews of everybody that have come before you up until now. Up until the time I got in here, and you tell me that you've been fair, because you haven't, and you know you haven't.
I will let the listeners decide that. I appreciate the time, from Mayor Lovely
Warren. I'm asking you, do you look at
guests,
your own conscience, and you think about rather
than
being fair?
One of the candidates for mayor running for re-election. This is the second round of interviews. We try to have conversations with everyone running for office, and listeners, again, if I have erred or been unfair, I know you will let me know, and you do, and I do make mistakes all the time. That's part of the business. And I will own it if I make mistakes. So I appreciate the mayor's time. Thanks very much. Let's get a short break and much more connections coming up.